Cue that fancy intro music. It's time to unleash your star power and own your dreams without selling your soul. It's time for some creative freedom. I'm Lisa Robin Young, and I'm a creative entrepreneur just like you. I'm also a business coach, helping people across the creative spectrum make great money doing what they love. If you're done with being the world's best kept secret and ready to shine like the star you are, creative freedom is for you. Let's get started. End of 2021, stepped into some real clarity around things not working in my business the way I wanted them to. And so I had been recognizing that the problem was in the words that I was using. And having been a DIYer for so long, I was really challenged with finding someone that I could trust, someone that I could get got me and wasn't going to try and snow me to help me figure out the whole messaging thing. And so today I have brought that person into my podcast world. And you guys know, I don't do a lot of, like, I don't have guests on my show. I just rarely, if ever, do that. And so the people that I'm bringing on are people that I've either worked with, have really deep connections with. These are people that I trust to care for your business like I would care for them. And today I have Dr. Michelle Mazur. She is the author of the book, The Three-Word Rebellion. She's an all-around good human. And she is the person that has worked with me to help me develop not only my Three-Word Rebellion, but how to roll the messaging out that goes with that. And so today we're going to talk about how that all came to be, what happened, the messy middle, and the realities of messaging rollouts, because I want to right-size some expectations around how this process works. So Michelle, thank you so much for saying yes to this and being a part of the Creative Freedom family.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. Thanks, Lisa. I can't wait to talk about your experience and my experience of your experience.
Yeah. And I dig the opportunity to get a little meta here. And this is very unscripted, very conversational, guys. So I want you to recognize, I just told Michelle, I want to talk about this journey that I've been on and give people a behind the scenes look at how the messaging that you guys are seeing roll out in season 7, how this all came to be. You know, one of the things that happened for me, and I, you know, you guys have heard me say this, I have been in the online world for almost 30 years. I've been a coach for almost 20 years. I've seen a lot, I've done a lot, and I've worked with a lot of different clients in that time, starting with direct sellers, moving to mom entrepreneurs, moving into this creative entrepreneur space. And one of the things that happens is, you create a lot of things, you put a lot of stuff out there. Some of it resonates, some of it sticks, some of it doesn't. And you're carrying this hodgepodge and amalgam of things. And a few years ago, right after I wrote Creative Freedom and had my wonderful brand guardian, Tracy Lay, do all of this brand design work, I started to feel like the visuals are really starting to come together. Everything is starting to feel upgraded. And at the same time, I don't feel like my messaging is landing with the right people in the right ways. Mm-hmm. And it took a while for me to own the truth of that, for one, because, you know, you're kind of married to your darlings and you're like, no, yeah, my copy's great. I'm a great copywriter, even though, you know, I think I'm a fair, passable copywriter. I can get the job done in a pinch, but there are people who are way more gifted and qualified at it than I am. And I'm at that stage now in my business where I can let go of my Vulcan death grip of control around all the things and trust people who are experts and professionals. But, you know, like I said, it takes a certain kind of person to work with me, because I've been around for a really long time and I've seen a lot of what works and what doesn't in the flash in the pan techniques and tactics that I'm like, yeah, that's not in alignment or integrity with who I am. So Michelle, if you just kind of give like your perspective of what you experienced as I was coming at you. And we can start there.
Yeah. So my experience of you at that point in time was that you had this other framework that you wanted to be operating in, where you were really becoming known for your work in your niche, because you'd been working with a very specific type of business owner, almost like that business owner who's in the beginning stages. And then as they grew and developed, you wanted to be able to support them. So you created this great framework, but you didn't know how to talk about that framework in a way that would make people want to know more or to be like, ooh, yeah, that's me. Like I need that. Like, oh, I do want to be well known for my work. I want to claim that space. And so your struggle was like, I've been known for this one thing for a very long time. Now I want to expand a bit and really make this a focus and change up who I've been talking to a little bit more, to those more advanced people who are ready for that kind of visibility, thought leadership work. And so that's where you were struggling. You couldn't see the, like most of my clients, you can't see the forest from the trees. Like you're so close to your message that you're like, I don't know how to talk about this. And that's completely normal.
Yeah. And I think the other piece that bears mentioning here is the not wanting to abandon the people that I'm currently serving, right? I don't want people to feel like I'm leaving them behind, because I'm not. And I'm very clear that there's a path that, you know, that these entrepreneurs take, and everybody starts at zero at some point. And that was the audience that I had been serving. And I recognized that there was a slice of these people who really were looking to step into a broader celebrity, becoming the celebrity in your niche. I really, like you said, didn't have the words to really articulate what this transition looked like. I had a really great framework based on the research that I had done. And I kind of had an idea of like what I wanted to call it. And it was not the greatest, but it was passable. And in my work with you, in the conversation that we were having, you know, that's where we came up with a lot of the handlebars that we're using now to start talking about things. We're dropping an episode as we're recording this about the Passover paradox. And that came out of the work that we did together. You know, the three-word rebellion of Unleash Your Star Power, that came out of our work together. But this was not easy work, Michelle. This was not easy work.
It is not, no. And I will be the first person to tell you this. It is very good work. It is cathartic, but it can be hard sometimes. And I think just giving scope of what we're doing is we're creating this like comprehensive way you are going to show up and talk about the work you do, so that anytime your business is communicating, it opens its mouth, you want to be consistently on message in your marketing, your PR, your sales, your copy, so it all works together so that you can unleash your own star power and be actually known for the work. And so the work is like, it's deep work, but also it impacts almost every aspect of your business. And I think that's what makes it hard. And I think that's also why like we worked so well together, because it's like I got to swoop in and be this thought partner and be like, well, what about this? Or I see this, or what if it's unleash your star power? I really like the verb unleash. I just feel like that flowing of energy outward is so what your people want. And we were able to have these conversations that I hope made it a little bit more enjoyable along the way.
Oh yeah. I say that it's hard work, not to put a damper on anything that we've done. Oh my gosh. No, I've said it repeatedly, worth every penny and then some, because of the massive amount of clarity they've gotten. And I do want to qualify saying that, you know, I needed years of working and DIYing and figuring some of this stuff out on my own so that I could get to a place where I could be vulnerable enough with you and clear enough with you to say, this is what my people are facing. These are the things that they're coming up against, even though I don't necessarily know how to articulate them in a way that gets them to go, oh my God, that's me. Like, I had to do the work of working with the clients and doing the research and seeing this stuff to then be able to come to our sessions and be like, okay, Michelle, here's the answers to all your questions. And it took a lot of work, but wow, what depth and wow, what clarity. And okay, now go work your magic.
Now, just go all that analysis that you do so I don't have to, you can structure this and make sense of it.
Yeah. So here's the magic, right? That you mm-hmm. do. I came to you saying, okay, the name of the book is going to be something about star power, how to have the courage to be rich as the celebrity in a niche. Like, I knew that that was like the premise, but understanding why that mattered, understanding how to speak to that beyond my own understanding of, well, this is why I think this book matters, and being able to capture the words and use them, say them in ways that would get other people to be like, oh my God, yeah, of course. Of course. Because mm-hmm. one of the first things we started talking about was the billion-dollar bro marketers, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
They're the people who give being wealthy or being rich and famous a bad name, right? Like, we mm-hmm. don't want to be these rocket ship blasting off into space people who don't care about the people who helped them get there, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Right. And that was really, quote unquote, the villain as we started. And we stood on that for a long time. And since then, in the implementation and rollout of what we've been doing here, I got really clear that it's not necessarily those rocket billionaires that are the problem. It's the idea that as a culture,
yeah,
we look to celebrities and influencers for guidance, whether they're really smart or they're off their rockers, we're still paying attention to them.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the reality of the world that we live in, I want to see more people, more good people in those roles, in those leadership,
yes.
you know, role model positions, so that we're looking to the people that deserve the spotlight for the good work that they're doing and the ways that they're serving in this world, instead of just the next, you know, hip shaken sensation on TikTok. But I couldn't have gotten there if we hadn't started in this space, pulling all these pieces apart and identifying who are the people, what are the icons, what are the things that, you know, people who feel a pull to be the celebrity in their space run up against. And mm-hmm. and you articulated it so brilliantly when you came at me with like, we're going to call that the passed over paradox. And I'm like, tell me more, which is exactly the response that you want your audience to have, right? And so I was like, so I would really like you to kind of deconstruct a little bit the process that you kind of went through, the magic that you do that got you to that point to come up with those magic words.
Yeah, well, it was an interesting thing because like when I'm working with a client, they do a lot of free writing using the three-word rebellion framework. And Lisa did, you know, you are doing all of the free writing. And so my job is to kind of go through and look at, you know, like what are the things you're rebelling against? What's the change you want to create? But about that like rebellion section, I really want us to be able to name a villain, right? So we're not poking at pain points, but instead we're saying like, no, there's this force out here. And I just really, as I was reading what you were writing, I noticed this tension that existed in your clients where, oh my gosh, they really wanted to be seen. And oh my gosh, they had so much to offer. Yeah, and yet they were kind of hiding out. They were the best kept secret. They had all this baggage about visibility and how money and all of that might change them. And so it was this paradox, this tension. And I'm just like, wow, these people are constantly being passed over for other people who are not as well known or experienced or have the expertise, but they're good at self-promotion and showing up. I was like, so it pisses them off that they're passed over, and yet they're terrified of getting out there. So for me, I was like, well, what if it's called the passed over paradox? Because it just made so much sense.
Sorry, did you say that again?
Oh,
sorry, I couldn't hear.
Siri wants you to say it again.
Siri just went off. Yeah. So 3, 2, 1. That tension was so palpable. And if we can name that for people, for what's happening to them, they're like, oh yeah, I really get that. Because yeah, on one hand, I really want to be known, seen, and valued for the work that I'm doing. And on the other hand, I don't.
Yeah. And you know, the in as much as you came at me with the Passover paradox, and I was like, oh, tell me more. I in my bones, for me, it was like, yeah, like for me, as like if I am my client just farther down the road on the journey, like that, it felt so true for me. And I've articulated this, you know, to you and to other people. It's like that feeling of, why is Sally getting all the attention? She's only been doing this for 6 months. I've been at this for 12 years and she's making 3 times what I'm making, and she's getting on all the podcasts and she's getting all the attention. And what about me? And then we look at, you know, the business model, and it's like, oh, well, you haven't been consistently showing up in these ways. Well, and then the fears start coming up, you know, particularly around cancel culture, particularly around causing unintentional harm. And what was coming up for me was, these people, myself included, want, they're so committed to being ethical, good people. And you know, I use that good term kind of broadly, not necessarily as a judgment qualifier, but they want to do good in the world, and they want to be good in the world. They want to be good humans. And it's at the expense of showing up in ways that can work for them, that might make them a target. But that's the nature of celebrity, is that you're going to be a target to someone somewhere, because as you rise, you have more visibility. You have more visibility to everyone, including the haters, including cancel culture vultures, including your raving fans. And so they were throttling back out of fear of being a target to the wrong people, instead of throttling up in order to be a target to the right people.
Yeah.
So it just, I mean, just the minute you said it, and I just read it, and I was just like, this is gonna be so good. Like, I could just, it was so tingly, because I didn't have those words. And that's the power of reaching into your network of professional support, right? And this is a shameless plug for Michelle, because
thank you.
She's really good at what she, I mean, she's got a doctorate, so she must know her stuff, at least to some degree, right? But she also is working hard to get you and help you communicate that you-ness that allows you to be that person in whatever space you're trying to be in.
Yeah. And you know, what's interesting, because I have worked with people who other messaging folks push them in a certain direction. They're like, oh no, it has to be like this. Or they push them to this bro marketing direction. And for me, one of my strengths is individuation, is like, I can see what makes people brilliant and what makes what they're doing amazing. And so being able just to work with the person and understand who their clients are, I'm able then to just kind of pull things out without placing my own, oh, it needs to be this way. And I think there's a lot of messaging folks who just like, oh no, we need to do it like this. This is what sells. This is what's marketable, instead of really listening to the client and helping them create that message that's going to resonate with their audience.
Okay. So let's unpack that a little bit more, because I think this is important in a day and age of so many cookie cutter, you know, websites that look the same. They've all got the glass of Merlot and the macarons and the welcome to my site and the rose gold this and that and all that stuff. It's really enticing, for lack of a better word, for a potential client to come to you and say, well, you know, I want to have a website like so-and-so. I want to be the next that person. What is your response to someone when they come in like that?
Yeah. So I have a little stock response about the power of carving out a unique place in your market. Because like, one of the things like in my industry that drives me nuts is that people are always talking about magnetic messaging. Get your magnetic message. And so if you search for magnetic messaging on Instagram, you will get hundreds of posts. And you know what that means? Those hundreds of people are standing in the exact same place in the market, all vying for a limited amount of attention. So if you want the website that looks like everyone else and you want to sound like everyone else, no, you will be competing with everyone else. And when you're competing with everyone else, you're competing on price because supply outweighs the demand. But when you have a unique message, whether it's Unleash Your Star Power or Three Word Rebellion, what you are doing is with your words, carving out a unique little spot in that ocean of your industry. Like, I am the only one you can come to for a three-word rebellion. You, Lisa, are the only place to go to unleash your star power. And there is such power. So yeah, it's tempting to do what everyone else is doing, but it is undercutting your business. It's making you compete with the masses. And when you have to compete with the masses, you're always going to be competing on price.
Okay, so then let's flip the coin and look at the other side too, because mm-hmm. here's the other thing that I hear is, like, you know, if you're too far out in left field, nobody understands who you are. Nobody understands what you're trying to accomplish. You're not clear. You're confusing. And so a confused mind says no. You know, that whole idea of if you want your book to sell, go to Amazon and read the reviews and look for the place in the marketplace that, you know, they're mm-hmm. Answer those questions, right? And it's like, what's your response to that? Because I mean, yeah, okay, unleash your star power. How do we stand in a space that's not so different that people are like, I don't get it. So what are you trying to do?
Well, I think that's where messaging comes in, right? Because part of the work I do is, yes, we carve out that little unique spot in the marketplace that's just yours. But then we think about, how do we build an argument for this? Like, how do we move people from not knowing you, not knowing what you're about, what you stand for, to getting their attention, to then moving them to see, like, oh, this is how you help people and this is how you work with people. What does that journey look like? Because I agree, like, if you come up with a three-word rebellion and people are curious, but then you don't know what to say to satisfy their curiosity, it's going to be incredibly hard for you to get traction. But if you know how to get their attention, and then you know how to persuade, how to make that argument for your work, it's so much easier to get people on board with what you're doing.
Yeah, and you talk about, I've got my Three Word Rebellion guide here next to me so that I can, like, flip through it and stuff. You mentioned, you know, this journey. Can you speak a little bit about the client journey as you use it with your clients?
Yeah. So one of the things I create for my clients is called the client decision journey. And so what this basically is we come up with your three-word rebellion, and then you do more free writing. So that's defining what your three-word rebellion is, what people should know about it, why people would say no to it. And from all of that writing, I basically create different content conversations that you can have that will move people along. So, like, if people don't know you yet, what are the types of things do you need to be saying in order to get their attention? And then once you have their attention, how do you help them diagnose the problem that's going on in their life or their business? And then if they say, like, oh yeah, I do have that problem, how then do you introduce them to your solution at the high level? And then finally, like, how do you get them to work with you, buy in, right? And so that's really, as you know, this is a pretty substantial piece of messaging work that we end up doing, and it informs your marketing and your copy. All of your marketing and copy come from this, because now you're being very intentional. Like, if somebody lands on your homepage, most likely if they find you through Google, it's cold traffic. So how are you meeting them where they are and then showing them what the problem is and then telling them where to go next? And I think a lot of messaging misses that. And a lot of DIY messaging is so solution focused. It's just like, and here's how I solve the problem, but I'm not going to tell you what the problem is. I'm just going to give you my solution. So really understanding that journey somebody has to take in order to want to even get on a call with you, let's say, is so critical. And it makes marketing a whole lot easier.
Yeah. And I will say, as you know, a 20-year veteran of DIY messaging, I've had many, many years where people would reach out to me and go, Lisa, I was at your website and what is it that you do? Like, there's so much stuff there. Like, what is it that you do? And part of me thought that at the beginning that that was a compliment because, you know, yeah, mm-hmm. I don't pigeonhole me. I can do lots of things. I'm a fusion creative, blah, 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 blah. And then I recognize people not being able to know what I do made it really hard for them to say yes to me. It made it really hard for them to want to give money to me without having more conversations, which was more work for me. And I was like, this mm-hmm. isn't cutting it. And I will say that as we're recording this right now, I am still in the implementation phase of all the messaging work that we've done. Like we're just a couple of episodes into season two as we're doing this. And, you know, we're just starting to talk about these elements that you and I have known about for 6 months now. And, mm-hmm. and even still, my website still doesn't really, we haven't changed that copy yet. Right. And so I want people to recognize this is an iterative, ongoing process. It's not just about, hey, I sat down with Michelle and she gave me all this great stuff and tomorrow I'm a millionaire. Like there's a journey beyond just showing up and doing the work with Michelle.
Yeah. And I think there's two points. It's number one, it's new messaging. So you have to practice it, right? Like you're going to have to embody this message, which means you're going to practice it, whether it's talking on podcast interviews, giving speeches on social media, in your marketing. But there is this real practice, like a speech you have to practice in order to get good and understand how your message actually leads to people and get that into your body. But then there's all of the logistical things to do, because you just went through this foundational, fundamental process that really changes how you talk about your business. And then that creates a lot of other projects. So writing new copy, maybe you need a new opt-in, maybe rolling it out to your podcast. And so it can take 6 months to a year to actually implement the message thoroughly. And just like anything in business, it's a long-term strategy. The online business world wants us to believe that you can like make six figures in 6 seconds and all of that BS, but it's frankly not true. And if you're building a business for the long term, then you make these investments in your business that are going to pay off over the long term. It's not like you're going to say your three-word rebellion once and Ted is going to come and knock on your door and you're going to have 1,000 new email subscribers. That is not how any of this works.
Right, right. Exactly, exactly. And thank you for reiterating that, because, you know, there are less reputable marketers out there who would be like, well, all you need is great messaging and take, you know, pay me a bajillion dollars and I'll do your messaging for you. And then you're going to be a millionaire overnight. You know, it's that write your book in a weekend stuff. It's like, yeah, you mm-hmm. could do it theoretically, but what's the quality going to be? What's the return on that investment going to be for the long haul if you haven't taken the time to do it right and do it well from the beginning? And, you know, with almost 30 years online, I can point to places where I did it well for where I was at.
Mm-hmm.
And I look back now and, you know, you put your head down and you're like, oh my gosh, what was I thinking? But, you know, that goes along with the thing that I tell my clients all the time. Your first is always your worst. Like those early steps are what you need to be taking. Mm-hmm. You know, I would not, there are very few of my clients in my incubator who would be like, go make the investment to work with Michelle, because they're not ready yet, right? They're still in that exploratory, figuring it out, working out the bits and pieces stage. And Michelle's book is great. Go read Michelle's book, go execute on Michelle's book, get your three-word rebellion and play with that for a while. And then when you're ready to up-level and upgrade, now you can start talking about some of the other things that a professional like Michelle has available to avail yourself of, to take the onus off of yourself exclusively and really get that professional insight. Because I'm going to tell you, I know how to say things to people. I can be a persuasive seller. And still looking at this book that you've given me with words that I know I wrote down in all that free writing. And I'm like,
you did.
She put it all together in a way that makes sense and works. And I can see how I can use this in my social media posts, how I can use this to create podcast episodes, how I can use this in my talk when I'm talking about the framework to you know, a networking group or a women's meeting or whatever, like now I can stand cogently and feel like the professional that I've known I was all along, because mm-hmm. now I have these words and these thoughts organized in ways that actually are compelling to move people through their journey from where they are to saying yes to working with me when it's a good fit for them, right? It's not about strong-arming them into something that they're not ready for, that they don't need. And that was the other thing, right? Like that whole Pastor for Paradox thing is as applicable to me. What is it they say? You teach the thing you most often need to learn, right? Uh-huh. And so, you know, I have experienced the Pastor for Paradox quite a bit, which is why I think it resonated so well with me. And so I stand in a space of how do I help my people? How do I show up and serve and not cause undue harm to people and not use smarmy bro marketing tactics to get them to buy now when it's not the right time? And so this was a great experience for me to really get a bigger view of how that journey, that buying journey, shakes out and how much of it is really in my control versus how much of it is really up to the buyer.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the beautiful part, because like the whole like bro marketing, I mean, it's straight up manipulation, right? It's bro marketing is just a different type of message. And it's a message based in manipulation so that you really don't have to think about making an argument for your work. Where what I do for my clients, it's like, yeah, we are making a persuasive argument that is giving people agency throughout that buying journey to say yes or no, to say, oh, wait, I don't think I have this problem. Or, oh, yeah, I do. Tell me more. And be like, ooh, I don't know if that solution's for me. Or, yeah, it is, right? We always want to give our potential clients agency to say yes or to say no if it's not right for them or it's not the right time for them. Oh. And I think that's an uncomfortable place for people to be sometimes, but
well, especially when, you know, that means they might not have that Lambo that they've rented for very much longer. But as you say that, it reminds me of one of the first things I ever did with you. It was I think it was a webinar that you were teaching. And one of the things that you were talking about, I think it was the heuristic model of decision-making. There were two different types of decision-making models. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh my gosh, now I get it. Now it explains so much. Can you talk a little bit about that? I know we're not here to do a sociology class, but I think this is really valuable for people to understand how that decision-making process goes down sometimes.
Yeah. So it's called the elaboration likelihood model. It's by two researchers named Petty and Cacioppo. I think they came up with it in like 1966. So this is not new, but it's really about how does our brain process persuasive messages? And they outline that there are two paths to persuasion. One path of persuasion is what you and I have been talking about. It's based on logic and reasoning and, you know, making an informed decision. And then the other path relies on things like scarcity, familiarity, fear of missing out, liking, authority, like all of those, like what Robert Cialdini calls them, like click were decision making. And the difference when we're deciding what path to go down, well, we don't really get to decide, right? There are two basic questions that we're asking ourselves. Number one is, am I motivated to process this message? So for instance, if you're at the grocery store buying yogurt, you're not going to weigh the pros and cons of each brand of yogurt. It would make your trip to the grocery store like last 4 hours, and nobody wants that. No, we buy on like what we know or what's on sale or what we really love. And for low risk decisions, that's great. So we have to be motivated. And then the second question is, we have to be able to process the message. So if we're tired, our kid's crying, our cat just threw up on the couch, or we're overwhelmed by all of these triggers, it can shut down our ability to critically think and process a message. And when people are, especially for me, it's like when you're making a large investment in your business, and I mean, I'm probably, based on what I'm seeing in the online space, I'm kind of medium priced, I guess. Yeah. I'm more of a Nordstrom's than a Neiman Marcus, but I want people to think about it and make sure that they're making the best decision. I don't want them to give me money because I'm like, well, if you sign up on the call, I'll give you a $500 discount, but you have to give me your credit card right now. Like, no, that's not how I want you to make your decision. I want you to be like, yes, this is the right next move for my business. You're the right person to help me. I don't want to rely on any of that scarcity psychological manipulation tricks in order to get people to buy from me.
Right, right. And I really appreciate you going through this, because this model of decision-making isn't just about sales and marketing. As you pointed out, you know, the grocery store, we tend to use shorthand in low risk situations, and there's no risk to that, right? Like all the time. What do you want for dinner, honey? Whatever you want to fix is fine with me. Like, I don't even want to think about it. But when we're dealing with these decisions that are higher stakes, relationships, business dealings, what school to put your kid in, you know, like it, we need the bandwidth, we need the emotional spoons and space to be able to think critically about those things. And every time a marketer or a persuasive individual uses these triggering tactics to get us to move to a shorthand, they're doing us a disservice, and we may not even realize it. So having you talk through this was incredibly valuable.
Well, and I think the other thing is, it's like our brain loves that those shorthand triggers because it saves energy, and our brain is designed to keep us alive, which means conserve energy. So if it can see like, oh, well, there's only one available, I'm just going to, you know, buy that without even thinking, great. Your brain's like, I love this. Whereas being thoughtful and using our critical thinking skills takes a lot more energy.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. So again, the reason I brought you here now is because I wanted people to see kind of the messy middle of this journey. We're not done. We're just getting started with all this work that I did 6 months ago with you. And I was like, now's a good time to bring Michelle in so that people can get a realistic view and right-size their expectations around business development, because we are in a place where there are a lot of these triggers being used. We are in a place where, you know, the cart opens and you've got 7 to 14 days to make a decision, and FOMO and flashing signs and countdown timers and all that stuff that makes it really hard to get clarity and make decisions about what's really going to serve you and what's really going to serve your business. So I really thank you for taking the time to come and chat with us today and give us that behind the scenes look, not just from like my perspective, but from you as a service provider and how this process works for people. One last question, because I know you've done this with a lot of different people. What is the most surprising thing that you've run into when it comes to helping people unpack and or implement and or discover their three-word rebellion?
I think the most surprising thing is sometimes it's sitting right in front of them. Like, I have so many stories where I'm like reviewing a new client's website, and then I just see this turn of phrase that's like in the footer, and I'm like, huh, that's an interesting message. And I just kind of write it down. Or one of my clients just said something in a video that was like a throwaway phrase, and I was like, huh, that's interesting. And so it is this, I mean, really, a three-word rebellion is like hiding in plain sight. You just can't see it. As much as you want to see it, it's almost impossible. And it's always surprising to me, like when I see that happen again and again, when I'm just like, whoa, wait a minute, what about this? Or my other favorite thing is, I worked with a client, we came up with her three-word rebellion, and like a week later, she emailed me and she sent me a PDF she made like 4 years ago. And her three-word rebellion was the title of the PDF. And I'm like, holy crap, it was there all along. Like, it's just that process of unearthing it and getting it away from all the other words you've been putting around it so that you can actually see it clearly.
Awesome. Awesome. Michelle, anything else before we close and I let people know how to find you?
Yeah, I would say, yeah, when it's the right time, it's really worth it to like hone in on your message, because I think that's, I mean, and I was talking with someone this morning about this, like she's had some really great success with word of mouth marketing, but she knows that in order to get to that next level of success for her and her business, she's like, I can't keep talking about it the way that I'm talking about it. It's not going to work, or it's just going to be this slow trickle of new people over the years. So it's, yeah, once you have that proven offer and it's like time to break through, get out of the word of mouth, that's when your messaging really comes in.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And for those of you that have been with me since I had 7 people on my email list, you've seen that evolution and you've seen what's been happening over the last few years in the way we've up-leveled the brand and the way we've changed the brand direction. And now with the messaging that we're rolling out, and you know, there's more of that to come, because as you guys have heard me say over and over again, you know, that stuff never ends, right? The refining and the processing and the tweaking, because we change,
yeah.
You know, as creative entrepreneurs, as we change, that kind of stuff is going to necessarily have to change as well. And so, you know, when I was clear that it was time for me to not keep doing this and getting these results, it was like, all right, well, who can I really trust to carry this with the same level of care and concern that I would carry it? And there was no question in my mind. It was like, okay, it's Michelle, Dr. Mazur. So yeah. And so yeah, again, thank you so much for being with us today and giving us this deeper look into how all of this messaging stuff really works. How do our lovely listeners get to reach out to you and learn more about you and explore?
Yeah. So if you want a taste of the 3-word rebellion, I have a mini audio workshop that walks you through the process. You can get that at 3wordrebellion.com. I'm also at Dr. Michelle Mazur on almost all social media channels, although Instagram is still my preferred channel for now. I'm having some social media angst these days.
You're not the only one.
For everything else, you can just head over to drmichellemazur.com.
Super. Michelle, thank you again so much for your time and your gift of just knowledge and wisdom and everything. We really appreciate you taking the time to be here today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
That is going to wrap up this episode of the Creative Freedom Show. It's also going to wrap up season 7 and 2022. We will be back next year, 2023, with all new episodes. And look forward to seeing you then. Until 2023, I hope you have a joyous and prosperous holiday season, a happy new year. And for more inspiration and education to help you unleash your star power and own your dreams without selling your soul, come see what's shaking over at creativefreedomshow.com. You know you want to.